open your Bible to Proverbs 29, and we got a handout in just a minute for you. This trio is singing, Natalie and Lauren and Claire's aunt, Melinda. Isn't that how I was supposed to introduce this? I think so. Mindy, I'm having fun at your expense, all right? Come on and sing for us.
Didn't bring an army to help him on his way. He didn't bring an angel to praise him night and day. He didn't bring one piece of gold to buy some food to eat. Instead, he turned and laid it all at his Father's feet. He left it all to rescue me. He left it all to die on Calvary. He left it all. Judging from the clothes he wears, he doesn't own a thing. Little did they know that day, as his blood came streaming down, he owned the sun, the stars, the moon, he even owned the ground. He left it all to rescue me. He left it all to die on Calvary. He left it all. Not one comfort did he bring, not his robe, not his crown.
Sing amen. It's all right, Lauren. Amen. That ought to move our hearts, and that's wonderful. I'd rather have a snot slinger, I'm serious, brother, than every little note hit perfectly with no heart in it. And absolutely good stuff tonight, ladies. All right, fellas are already passing out handout 41. So be sure you get your hand in the air. If you don't have one yet, you're in Proverbs 29. And we're in good shape tonight, okay? We won't be terribly long on just a couple of lessons here. We're in good shape time-wise, and we don't have school for another week, so we'll get rolling here. Handout number 41, this evening. And you didn't get one yet, raise your hand. They'll bring one your way. Oh, okay, got a whole section here. Whoa. Right here, Brother Brent, if you could help us. Thank you, sir. All right, very good. I'm going to pray while you're getting your last few passed out. Father in heaven, help us tonight as we look in your word. Help us to learn some practical lessons of wisdom. And Lord, not just sit here on a Wednesday night in a comfortable building on a soft pew and have it go in one ear and out the other. God, help these principles to get seated in our hearts so that we can live them someday. Speak to us tonight through your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Living wisely, principle number 84 is found in chapter 29, verses 11 and 20. Verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Verse number 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So living wisely, principle number 84. Living wisely is learning not to say everything I think when I think it. Learning not to say everything I think when I think it. Now, we've touched on this principle in a previous lesson in this series, but it does not hurt us to go over it again. Truth of the matter is, this is a principle where I need improvement. Far too often in certain situations, I respond too quickly with my opinion or comments. It's funny, I have grown sons now. One of those grown sons is very much like me. He needs help and improvement in this area. The other grown son does a lot better. And when me and one grown son start babbling, the other grown son just smiles at us. Amen. He just smiles at us. And I guess you can figure out which grown son is which, all right? Good luck, Brother Gellis, over there. But I do. I'm serious. Too many times in life, I respond too quickly with my opinion or comments. And the Bible speaks explicitly about the man who speaks hastily in verse 20. There is more hope of a fool than there is for him. Boy, that's strong language, folks. More hope for a fool than a man who just babbles quickly, hastily, without thought behind what he says. Now, number two on your sheet here, the wise man said it takes wisdom to be patient and wait until afterwards to comment or make statements, okay? A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards, till he has all the facts, till he learns everything he should learn, till he gets all the story. The fool just starts speaking, sometimes based on quarter story, half story, three-quarter story. Where the wise man, he waits and he gets everything until afterwards. And this is a good principle to go over at this time of the year because school starts next Tuesday. Parents, please, please learn to wait till afterwards to address an issue when it comes to things that happen concerning your children. Okay, now we're about to have, we got the largest enrollment we've ever had. I told the staff today that amazes me because it's graduated five last year, had nine kindergartners, which was a big class for us, members only school. Graduate five, we lose the two younger Pixleys who moved to Indiana. Is this your last service with us, Missy? You're done here in Bourbonnais, and we're going to miss this family. We're already missing them. I texted your husband yesterday, told him I loved him and I missed him, and asked how he was doing. So with losing seven folks, I thought, boy, you know, we'll go down a little bit. And then we had eight kindergartners, and then we've increased more beyond what we had last year. So, but I told the staff today, you know, big isn't always best. Just because you got a big number of kids doesn't mean you're going to have the best year ever. In fact, a lot of times, just the opposite. So I'm not pessimistic. I'm very optimistic because we got some good kids coming in starting the year. We've got some good leadership, and that helps. And older kids, but you know it's far more important to have a better spirit, have a great spirit than a big crowd and a bad spirit. Okay, so parents help us. Okay, let me just start your year off on a positive note. Your kids are going to struggle somewhere. In other words, there's going to be an incident. That's kids. That's school. That's what happens. Okay? Get the whole story before you comment. Get the whole story before you comment. Get the whole story before you go on social media with stuff that you can't take back. Get the whole story. Okay? A wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. We've said before, you know, in time past when I was in school, and I'm not the oldest person in this room, so there are others who could speak more clearly about this, but when I was in school, if we got in trouble, our parents went to the authorities and said, what did my child do? Now parents come in and say, what did you do to my child? It's a complete different way of thinking, okay? So just be careful. Number three on your sheet here, just be sure to give leadership the benefit of the doubt and refrain from making comments before you know the truth about the whole incident. That's a mouthful. I'll repeat it. Just be sure to give leadership the benefit of the doubt. You say, well, how do I know if I should give? Folks, if you're not convinced that leadership in the school here should get the benefit of the doubt, then you probably shouldn't have your kids in school. You're putting your kids in a school that you don't have confidence in the leadership. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, give them the benefit of the doubt. Refrain from making comments before you know the truth about the whole incident. Now, people, I won't do this because it will hit too close to home. I could tell you some very humorous stories about incidents when this principle has been violated. They're really funny. But they would embarrass some people. They would embarrass some people. I mean, things said, and then, you know, about this was said in front or done in front of a chaperone by a certain person, and then it get, you know, and the parents get a little excited, and you know, and the chaperone wasn't even with the person when it was supposedly said. It's humorous. It's humorous. And the sad thing is, sad thing about it seems to be repetitious with the same people. So what that means is that some people aren't learning from mistakes. And you're not implementing principles of wisdom. This is what I say, folks. Look, you don't listen on Wednesday night out the door. You get these principles, get them seated in our hearts. And when we face issues in life where these principles help us, implement them. Implement them. Okay? Be careful about just popping off about a teacher, a principal, or some incident based on what your child tells you. Children are pros at embellishing stories, coloring it to their advantage. Now, look, you say, I had six of them. I know. And you know. Those of you that have older kids, you look back now and you, yeah, okay. It's sad but true that there are cases where leadership in some certain schools and places has taken advantage of students. There's a certain denomination that is battling the reproach and stigma of abuse of children. And, that's sad. But, and by the way, neither am I suggesting that every judgment call over the how many years we've had a school here has been the right judgment call. Sometimes we've erred, okay? But just be careful about responding until afterwards. See, that's circle that word in verse number 11. Afterwards. Get the story. You say, well, I got it from my 13-year-old girl. Get the story. I don't know what you got. My son said, get the story, all right? And save it for afterwards. I'm not saying, you know, let your children be taken advantage of. I'm just saying get the entire story. Now, another way to learn this this principle, verse number four on your sheet, another way to learn wisdom from these verses is to avoid the know-it-all syndrome. Number five, a foolish person speaks everything he thinks he knows without being asked. He speaks everything he thinks he knows without being asked. Let me ask you a question. Do you know anybody who gives their opinion without being asked? I'm sure you're thinking of somebody right now. Do you know anyone who speaks authoritatively about a subject without being consulted? You know somebody like that? That's foolish. This is the warning the wise man is giving in this principle. You know, the truth of the matter is, I have a lot of fun sometimes with like Mary and Ben going down to the hospital to see their baby. And I'll say to them, you know, first child. And I'll say, man, after a week or so with your baby, y'all come to church and y'all be the source of all wisdom for raising children. And we chuckle and laugh. But you know what? You know what is an odious thing? It's an odious thing when first-time parents speak about what their kids are not going to do. You will eat most of those words. Okay? Well, my kid won't ever. Oh, yes, they will. Okay? Yes, they will. Look, I'm not going to show it to you. But I got a picture of my grandson that I really should make some money on. Really. I should make that thing a black and white picture. It would sell. It would be in Cracker Barrels all over this nation. They would put it on the wall. Your kids are going to do ignorant stuff. That's what they're going to do. I hope I don't offend my grandson, but you know, that just happens. That just they do that. So, you know, just be careful about speaking your mind about stuff that you don't know at all yet. Amen. Avoid the know-it-all syndrome, okay? That's very, very important. So keep it in till afterwards. Number six, living wisely, principle number 85. That's what I said, we're not going to be terribly long on any of these two principles tonight. Living wisely substitutes trust in God for the fear of man. Trust in God for the fear of man. Look at verse number 25 in the same chapter, and we're done with chapter 29. We've already looked at a couple of verses previous to tonight. But I like verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. A snare is a trap. You've heard me talk. When I was in Iowa, I learned how to trap animals. I did it just for, you know, just for a little fun, recreation. And it was nice to make a little extra money, okay? But I always used foot traps or body traps, conibears. Snap down and kill the animal immediately. I never used the snares. They use those a lot of times out in the plain states for things like coyotes and fox and wolves and things like that. And a snare is a little cable that they put with a slip knot on it. And when the animal goes through, it catches and it pulls, and that snare traps them and it suffocates them. It constricts them and suffocates them. The fear of man is like a snare. Chokes you. Suffocates you. A snare is a trap, and to live in the fear of man is a trap that will constrict and suffocate us. Constrict and suffocate us. And pastors have to be careful of this. A pastor cannot be silent from his pulpit on one of the truths from the Word of God because he fears some man in his church. If that happens, he's trapped. He's ensnared. He'll suffocate. He's constricted. And by the way, I was tested as a young pastor here. And I'm sure that every young pastor is tested. You're tested. And the temptation to quieten down on an issue because of a certain man or a certain person in the church. But you have to get beyond that. You can't let the fear of man's opinion change what the truth of God's Word says. Okay? But now, there are several types of fear that trap us if we're not careful. Let me talk about the first one, letter A, under number 8. Several types of fear that trap us if we're not careful. The fear of peers. The fear of peers. Now, this is especially common among teenagers, but it's not isolated to teens. It's common amongst teenagers, but it's not isolated to teens. And if you are fearful of your peers' opinion of you, you will be trapped by what they think. You'll be trapped by what... By the way, folks, it's not just for teenagers, it's for adults. And it's not just... I mean, look, I faced something within the last 12 months where... Some of my peers in the ministry did not agree with a certain decision I made that I was going to do, and I did, you know what? I can't worry about it. I can't be trapped. I can't be ensnared by the opinions of my peers. Now, I need peers. I need godly peers. Iron sharpeneth iron. But when God, the Holy Spirit of God directs you to do something, then it's obviously His leading that's causing you to do it. You just have to just do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. You can't be trapped by the opinions of peers. Teens, let's get back to teens for a minute. Underneath letter 8A there, teens ought to be more concerned about what their parents think than what their peers think. Guys, ladies, you need to be concerned about what your mom and dad think. More so, look, I have witnessed teenagers trapped at invitation time because of peers who had no interest in the work of God in their hearts. Literally trapped. sitting sometimes in the middle of a pew, surrounded by young men or young women who did not care, didn't have any kind of heart for God at all. And it was obvious. I have watched young people look to the right, look to the left. I mean, where they almost made a move only to look down the pew this way and that way, see that their peers were not moving and sit. That's called a trap. That's called a snare. And young person, you cannot let what your peers think be more important to you than what your parents think. It's sad. And what's sad is those that live in that kind of trap don't even realize that they're being suffocated. They're being constricted. It's very deceiving. To be thinking you're winning when you're losing is the worst kind of deceit. So don't let your peers influence you. If you know something is right to do and you know God is telling you to do something that's right, maybe responding to a message or standing up for something, you obey the Lord. Don't let your peers' opinions trap you. Number letter B is what I'm going to call the fear of possibility. The fear of possibility. Here's another kind of fear that entraps people. This is the fear of what if. What if? Some people, I wrote this underneath this, some people would like to remove every potential risk out of life. You cannot remove every risk out of life, folks. Look, there are sicknesses, there are diseases, germs abound in societies. For the most part, we live in a pretty clean country. My granddaughters often have to be on worm medicine in Madagascar because it's filthy and they've had issues with, they've had lice so many times, those girls won't, they don't even want mayonnaise on their sandwiches. And that's the truth, because they've gone to bed so many times in Madagascar with mayonnaise in their hair. We live in a pretty clean country. Okay, but yet even in this country, sickness, disease, and germs abound. Folks, if not for God's mercies, we would all be consumed in a moment. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. And I know in the context it's not talking about diseases and germs and sicknesses, but it can be applied to that. You know, and look, if you allow possibilities to ensnare you, you fall short of trusting God for safety. Oh, boy. Just recently, we had a missionary family that we had to stop supporting because, I think maybe I mentioned it to you, the wife walked out on the husband. Walked out on him. And she told him, said, "You've been, I've wanted to do this for 2 or 3 years now. The only reason I've stayed with you is because you've been good to me and good to our children. But I don't want to be a missionary's wife." And so she walked out. Came to the States. They ended up getting a divorce. She had a couple of the kids. I don't know how they split it all up, but she was down in the southern state, and the husband wanted his son to go to football camp. And she was just a stinker about it. She wouldn't let the dad come and pick him up, but she would let the granddad come and pick him up. But she made the granddad drive from one state several hundred miles and made him spend the night because she was afraid that if he drove at night, her son might get killed. So made a man twice her age stay a night in the motel because she didn't want her son traveling at night. Well, you know what? Your son can get killed in the daytime just as easy as at night. That's the kind of fear that enslaves people. The fear of possibilities. The fear of potential. Good night, folks. Look, Robert Atkins, you know, I'm not saying to not be stupid. To not be stupid. I'm saying don't be ignorant. Don't be careless. Help me, okay? Bear with me here. My mind hits these moments where I'm a little bit tired. But don't be careless. Be careful. But don't get to the place where you don't trust God. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay? If somebody in your family had heart trouble or cancer or Alzheimer's, don't be careless with your health, but do not live in the snare of knowing that you're going to die of the same thing. You don't know that. And to live under that kind of assumption is enslaving. It's constricting. It's suffocating. It's the fear of possibility. Robert Atkins was famous for health and diet. The Atkins diet. Folks in this church have been on the Atkins diet. The reason they like it is because you eat all the meat you want to. You eat a pound of bacon for breakfast. Can you imagine eating a pound of bacon for breakfast? Maybe some of you have done it. I don't know. You do that, you better take something for your colon. I don't know. Mercy. I mean, my gracious goodness. What do you think about it? He was this proponent of health. You remember how he died? Slipped on the ice. And hit his head. Brother Tom, thankfully, that didn't happen to you. Hit his head on the curb and died. Now, they say there's debate about maybe he had a heart attack before that caused him to fall, slip, and hit his head. But I'm just simply saying, here's a guy who went by the book on diet and weight and everything, but a fall killed him. You can't take the risk out of life. Don't be careless. But don't live. Moms, do not raise a little Lord Fauntleroy. Do not make sissies out of your boys. Please, do not make sissies out of your boys. Let them get bruised. Let them bleed. Don't baby them. Heaven help us. We're making little Lord Fauntleroy. I don't want my son to be hurt. He needs to know how to get hurt and keep going. Now, look, that's what I like about football camp. You know, I was a basketball player. I wasn't any good at football. And I never did play it in high school because the boss wouldn't let me take but one season off for sports. And so I took basketball. There's contact. People say, there's no contact in basketball. You never played basketball. Especially against David Niemeyer. You ought to play against David. But it's not the same kind of contact as football. And these boys like going to basketball camp. I'm not against that because our school plays basketball and they want to get better at it. I understand that. But there is something about getting hit and getting up and getting on to the next play. Something about that. Well, I don't want him. Look, do not raise a little Lord Fauntleroy with lace on his underwear. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm serious as a heart attack. You think it's funny? I'm serious as a heart attack. That boy, you know, and I like they go to camp and they box. I like that. Who was that? Oh, poor old college student from Providence on staff at the camp the week I was there. And they put him in the ring with this teenage boy who's in school. This boy's in college and this boy's in high school. And I mean, ding, and it was wham, and that kid was out. Knocked him out. One punch. Boom. Jonathan Bartels at the college. Knocked him out. Cold. I mean, one punch. And everybody's like, oh. You know, I don't want anybody to get hurt, but it doesn't hurt your child. Yeah, I told you that story. Dave Smith put those boys, little junior high age boys in there. And this boy, and you could tell he was soft. And the bell rang and boom. And they put gloves on and they put those hats on them, you know, those helmets. And boy, that boy, boom. And I mean, that kid dropped his arm and said, he hit me. Hey, if you haven't been around places where lots of boys are gathered, watch some of these teenage boys throw a ball. It's pathetic. They don't know how to do it, folks. And I'm not down on them. They've never been taught. And I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I know. That's how you live your life. I'm so afraid. And people who live in fear are trapped. Don't live in the snare of fear, okay, when it comes to peers. Don't live in the snare of fear when it comes to possibility. Numbers, letter C, do not live in the fear of peril. Now, what is peril? This is the fear of man when in a dangerous situation. This is what I'm talking about here. Abraham feared the men of Egypt, lied about Sarah being his wife. Peter feared the angry Jews who were anxious to see Jesus die. And then he denied the Lord for whom he previously professed to die. I'll go all the way with you. And then he got afraid. Now, so far in America, we have avoided serious persecution for our faith. But the day may come where God's people become the target of persecution. And if those days of peril do come to our homeland, I hope that we will all firmly trust God and avoid the fear of man. Do right. It's important now while we have the opportunity to stand up for Christ. Gentlemen, pray over your food during the lunch hour at work. Keep a Bible on your desk. Avoid laughing at immoral and immodest jokes and suggestive talk amongst coworkers. Take a stand. Be strong. Don't be subject to the fear of peril. Well, they'll get mad at me. They won't like me. So what? So what? Once again, folks, look, I've talked about this before. Number nine, fear paralyzes the child of God. Fear paralyzes you. It shuts you down. It cuts off faithfulness to Christian duty. It causes us to withdraw into a cocoon and shut up our bowels of compassion on others. The Christian life is a life of faith. I taught that in my Sunday school class with those new converts this past Sunday. I'm teaching them about the Word of God. How did we get the Bible forever settled in heaven? How did we get it to planet Earth? And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they're looking at me, and folks, you understand, for many of them, this is the first time they've heard anything like this. And I told them, I said, folks, look, Christianity is a life of faith. It's a life of faith. It's a life of trust. Christianity begins with faith or trust in God. It continues with trust in God, and it ends with trust in God. And perfect love, perfect trust casteth out fear. Casteth out fear. Throws it out. So don't live in the fear of man. Don't live in the fear of your peers. Don't live in the fear of possibilities. And don't live in the fear of peril. Just trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Be the safest and the best thing you can do. So, two lessons tonight. Living wisely is learning not to say everything I think when I think it. Wait until afterwards. Get it all together before you make a comment. And then living wisely substitutes trust in God for the fear of man. Wise principles, godly principles, may they be seated in our hearts and practiced in our lives when we need to. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight in the service. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll give us the courage to trust you and not live in fear. May we not be entrapped by the fear of peers or peril or possibility. Lord, even that matter of possibility, we kind of laugh at it, but Lord, it really does snare a lot of people. And so I pray that you'll help us to be careful. Help us to trust you. And help us to be careful, Lord, about waiting until we have the whole story to make a comment. Help us not to be the person that's more hope of a fool than for a man who's hasty with his words. And Lord, I need help with that at times. Please prompt me, Holy Spirit of God, to be careful. Wait till afterwards. I pray that you'll bless these principles of wisdom in our lives. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a word, a brief invitation. So.